Okay, Adar Bet is sponsored by Chavi Lee in memory of Chavi's husband, Tanchum Ben Chaim, and in memory of Yosef Ben Yitzchak, Mindy Baradi Lunishmas, Asher Anshel Ben Shraga Pfeiffer LeCohen, anonymously in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anonymously in honor of the beers, 1 year on an Aliyahversary, anonymously for a month of joy, healing, and celebration in our land for the continued protection of our Chayalim, and healing for all who need it, by the Brenner's memory of Yitzchak ben Nachman on his Yortzeit, by the Avram family in honor of their second Aliyahversary and the Yortzeit of Shachar's Saba Reuven ben Avram, and by Sarah Gold for the Rifu Shlema of Esther Dania bat Sarah, Chava Yocheb et Hadas bat Sarah betoch Shach Chol Yisrael, and for the Pidyon Shvuim, the Tzachon Yeshua of Am Yisrael. The week is sponsored by my in-laws in honor of two other birthday granddaughters, Rachel Nechama and Ora Menucha, by Sharon Almond in memory of Sharon's mother, Toiva Zelda Bas Zeev V'Chayachana, by Meira Goldberg Bartlev in memory of Jack Yaakov Peretz Ben Gershon Meir, who we've mentioned his name so many times, not just this week.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jack. We miss him so much. So much on his fourth Yortzeit. Miss him so much. And by Marilyn and Josh Adler for the safety of all the Chayalim and the captives relieved Bezrat Hashem. I love, this is so beautiful. And you have to spend a few minutes to get through sponsorships. It's a very, never gets old. Okay. Very important, before we start, which has to do mamash with the learning today, is that there's going to be a Tehillim Mechulak. Give out Tehillim to complete Sefer Tehillim Bezrat Hashem after the learning, right after. We have something pretty short to do, actually. It's not such a long piece. It's not such a difficult piece, but it ties in exactly to what today is all about. This is a piece from Rav Kluger that I wanted us to do today to tap into the neshama of Tanya's Esther. You could pass these out. That is it. Kuf Lamed Hay. I wanted to do something today that would obviously have to do with Tani Tester, and would also the Tani Tester of Tafshin Pei Dalid, which is a different Tani Tester. Lo haya Tani Tester kaze b'chaim shelanu. We never had a Tani Tester like that. Forget about Purim. We're not even by Purim yet, but we've never had a Tani Tester like we've had. Are there enough in the back? Are there more? What? Okay. It's very simple Hebrew today, so it really, we're not going to be breaking our teeth so much. Tonight, I mentioned a few things. Tonight will be a special shiur, which is more of a achana for Purim Tafshin Pei Dalid, 8 p.m. tonight for men and women here. And then Shabbos is Shabbos. And then Motzei Shabbos, we do the shul puts on the most incredible, I think one of the most incredible kids' parties, all in town, you know. And this year it's going to be even deeper and better and sweeter, Bezrat Hashem. And then afterwards we have a tish. Where's the tish this year?
Upstairs,
yeah. And that's been very chazak, very deep and pnimi. And just to announce that, you know, we every year we usually do seuda in our house, but because of shiputzim, we're doing seuda upstairs in the social hall. I say that because from 4 p.m. be'erich, the doors open for everyone, and we go strong for a long time. Kmo shetzarich. And I just know that whatever ounce of tosefet kedusha of Purim we could do this year is mamash needed in the deepest way. So, but for right now, I just want to talk about the moment that we're in right now, Tanit Esther, which is a very emotional thing to see that so many people took on Tanit Esther this year. Not everyone fasts on Tanit Esther. I'm not just talking, you know, I'm not speaking about in our circles, whatever in the world that word means, our circles, but Tanit Esther has been taken on now. It's like today's it's spread throughout Am Yisrael in a very strong and passionate way. Not just that, but actually led by one of the top Israeli comedians, Guy Hochman, this Shabbos is being taken on by a lot of people that don't keep Shabbos yet. So the Eis Ratzon, the gates are open, and everyone's, you know, Avo El HaMelech, everyone's just coming to the Melech. in the way that they're able to. And that's what this is about also, trying to understand how to come to the Melech in this year in its own unique way. So of course, Vaticht of Esther, Esther Amalka, for us, this year her aura has to shine just much stronger and brighter than it ever did. We need the light of Esther Amalka to shine in a way that's never shone before. Mamash, shone, you say in the past? Not shined, shone. Shone before. What Rav Kluger is going to show us is a very simple inyan when it comes to how Am Yisrael relates to when things are difficult. Things seem to kind of like always be difficult. It's like we don't need to be in our mitzvahs right now to learn this teaching at all. Things have a way. I don't know how this happens. Things have a way of being difficult. And then things have a way of not being difficult also. Amen. They do. They have and they will. Mamash. The question is, when you look back at how things stopped being difficult, what would you point at as to what changed the whole thing? If you go into the story of Esther, of Megillas Esther, and you say, what was the thing that really changed things over? Rav Kluger says, if you have the right eyes to look at how the Megillah says, what the Megillah points at to show you that things changed, you understand the secret of personal Geula and Klal Yisrael Geula. At what point did you say, this is what changed everything? And through the Megillah, you could say a million things. I mean, there are tzaddikim that say, what was the tipping point of Megillas Esther? The word Vayehi. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, right? That's the word Vayehi already is a tipping point. Ah, you're telling me it's going to be bad. That means I know you're telling me it's going to be good, right? That's why the first word is Vayehi, right? So that's a very beautiful drush. And then it says, and then I saw someone else that says, oh, the tipping point was the word b'mei, which is the second word. And a whole drusha and the gematria of b'mei, what is it, 62, whatever, a whole thing. You could do it everywhere and say, this was the thing that tipped it over. But as a klal, we have a way of understanding what really is the thing that changes things. What really tips things over? And that's why it's so kashur to the getting together afterwards and doing the Tehillim today. So look inside on the bottom piece where it says, Nes Purim B'Koyach HaTefillah. You see it? The first page is Kuf Lamed He. Lech Knosses Kol Yehudim. Rav Kluger says, V'chein Asa Mordechai. He listened to her. Kmo Shekatub B'Samuch. V'yas Mordechai. This is a very interesting pasuk. V'yas Mordechai, K'chol Asher Tzifta Alav Esther. Let me ask you a question. What's so beautiful about this pasuk? You know, usually when you think about Mordechai and Esther, who's the Rebbe and who's the Chassid? Right? Who's the Rebbe and who's the Chassid? Usually when we think about, you know, the story of the Megillah. So Mordechai is the Rebbe and Esther is the Chassid. No, not this pasuk. Vayas Mordechai, kechol asher tzivta alav Esther. Esther is the Rebbe and Mordechai is the Chassid. Mordechai is doing everything that Esther says, tells him to do. Kmo she'amru Chazal, Mordechai karat begadav. V'chol b'nei Yisrael hitkapzu etzlo. Mordechai tears his clothes, all the Yidden gather around him. V'amad Mordechai v'amar aleim, en lanu melech shenismoch alav. We don't have a king. There's no David Malka Mashiach here. There's no Shlomo HaMelech. We don't have any king to run to. V'en lanu makom lanus. We also are in galus. We have nowhere to run to hide. V'chol makom u'makom nichtav aleinu. This decree about us being killed is the decree is shayach to every single province. Right? Bechol makom makom. There's nowhere out. Hainu katzon asher en lahem ro'eh, Chazal say. We are like a flock that has no shepherd. Ba'et hayi, this is amazing. I never saw this before. Hotziu et ha-teva el sharei shushan, ve'otziu sefer Torah me'utaf besak u'megulal be'efer. They took out a sefer Torah that was covered in a sack, in a like a cloth, and it was basically megulal be'efer. It was, what's that? It was covered with dirt. וקראו בו, בצא אליך ומצאוך כל הדברים האלה באחרית הימים, ושבת עד השם אלוקיך ושמרת בקולו. What parasha is that? That's the end of the Torah. It's in Nitzavim. They took out the Torah, piece of the Torah where it says, when you find yourself surrounded and consumed by tzaras, and you have no idea what to do, ושבת עד השם אלוקיך. You just come back home to Abba in Shemayim. That's what they read in the streets of Shushan Abira, when they took out a Sefer Torah that was covered in sack, in afar, in dust. But now this is the point. Ve'et le'orer al nekuda daka b'inyan avodat ha'tfila. This gives us an opportunity to point out something very important when it comes to the whole avodah of davening. Shehine, im nishal adam, ech haya yeshua b'imei Mordechai ve'Esther. If we ask a person, how did it come about that there was a salvation in the time of Mordechai ve'Esther? Al pi rov, most people would say that the smartest thing would say, yeah, muskal rishon lomar, sha'yeshua itchila al yedei shezimna Esther et haman lamishte. You would say, well, how did the Yeshua begin? Esther invited Haman to her own feast, to her own mishte. Like if you look at the order, the chain of events, you would say that's how the Yeshua began, that Esther invited Haman to a mishte, and then from there things you know itgalgelu. Ach be'emet hakol haya ach v'rak al yedei koach ha'tfila. But that's not true. That is not true. Meaning, that is a piece of the chain of what brought to a Yeshua. It's true. That was a vital moment in the story, but that is not how the Yeshua began. The Yeshua began only with started al-yedei koach ha'tfila. Shebnei Yisrael za'aku la'Hashem itbarach, v'itchanenu elav le'avir ra'at ha'man ha'agagi. We were crying and screaming for this horrible etzah to be removed. V'shama Hashem et kolam, v'na'asa lahem nes, and Hashem heard their voice and a miracle was made for them. וכמוכן, זוהי העצה הייעוצה לכל אחד ואחד בכל עת צרה וצוקה. Now this is a very important thing. And it is much harder, it's much easier said than done. This is very hard to remember when you need to remember the following thing. Listen very closely. At any time, בכל עת צרה וצוקה, no matter what you're going through, when it seems like there's a constraint, a bilbul, a need for you to emerge, a need for you to appear, a need for you to be smart. A need for you to be smart. That's really the thing. When there's a need for you to mamish be smart about something. He says here something, Maritic, something unbelievable. Shelifnei kol ha'ishtadlut v'atachbulot she'osim. Don't start doing anything. Before you come to any tachbula. Tachbula means a tactic. Before you come up with any tactics. We like to say in Piasetzna language, tachbula means a hack, a trick, tactics. Like it says in the pasuk, it says, "Betachbulot ta'aselecha milchama." That when it comes to war, you have to be strategically smart. You got to be full of tactics, of hacks, of tricks. He says, "Before any hishtadlut v'tachbula she'osim, before you figure it out and you use your brain, which you have to." Just like Esther did, she used her brain in the most incredible way. Lifnei kol ishtadlut v'tachbula she'osim reishit kol davar yishpoch siach lifnei Hashem yizbarach. Did you guys see any of the pieces of footage of chayalim right in the beginning of this war, before they went out to krav doing mishaberachs? Did you ever see anything holier in your life? Ever. The chayalim that are doing mishaberachs and bringing upon themselves the awareness that what they need to do right now is to cry out to Hashem, to be there for Him in their midst. And then, all the tachbulot were implemented. Rav Kluger is saying, eat this, so there's even, they already did it late because we were caught. Hashem Yisbarach, we were caught. Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, we were caught off guard. He's saying, even before you go to the board, even before you open up maps, even before you start to think about the tachlis of, oh, this needs to be like, before any of that, you're stuck, you know you need to figure things out. Before you let your mind be the one that says, I'm going to determine how to get us out of here, a Yid doesn't do that. A Yid first starts, Reshit kol davar yishpoch siach lifnei Hashem Yisbarach. No. We start by crying. Before anything, we start by speaking, by crying to the Ribono Shel Olam. V'yeda v'ya'amin she'be'emet rak mikoach zeh. It's only from this merit. Yizkeh li'yishuas Hashem kfi she'erachnu od le'el pasuk chet. He already spoke about this quite intensely before, but he says, we already explained this. This is how it works. This is Seder Ha'inyanim. This is the way things go. And if you look at Megillat Esther, and you see how the psukim progress there, you see exactly what we're talking about. Mamash, mamash kacha. V'yesh od litbonen b'zeh. And he says he's going to show us this halachically as well. This is fascinating. Yesh od litbonen b'zeh. Sh'arei yidua shitas Ramban. Sh'tfila d'oraisa hidaika be'es tzara. Okay, this is a very famous machlokas rishonim that has to do with, is davening d'oraisa or not, or is it derabanan? It's a famous machlokas, Ramban. And other rishonim as well share a lot on this. And even those that say that tefillah is d'oraisa, that it's actually from the Torah, that you have to daven, the Ramban does a diuk there, and he says, the chiyuv of davening from the Torah is only at a specific time. When is it? Be'ez tzara. So, Breslovers aren't happy with this, because they'd want to feel that's the only time I'm yotzei chiyuv d'oraisa, is only when I'm in betzara. I should feel that it's a chiyuv d'oraisa also when I'm besimcha, but the Ramban says no, and he has a whole taichan. The way he brings it down is it's not for now. Shetfila d'oraisa yidaika be'etzara. Now, just skip over here until the end of these brackets over here. Ve'ineh bechol zman bayit rishon. You see where it is? Ve'ineh bechol zman bayit rishon. Haya l'klal Yisrael milchamot u'kshayim. Now this sheds a lot of light on something we've been learning quite often. Is that during Bayit Rishon, as much as we say the Shekhinah was there, and it was such a gilui, everything was revealed, it was all light, there was never such a prosperous time like it was in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Bayit Rishon, but throughout the whole time of Bayit Rishon, Haya liklal Yisrael milchamot u'kshayim, we were filled with itei tzara. There are a bunch of moments that it was very, very, very hard. Just like they're going to write about our days, that the first, you know, tkufa of living in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Atchalta de Geula was also filled with a bunch of piguim and attempts to kill us. They're going to write the same thing. But you know how it's going to go down, this tkufa? Just like we look back at Bayit Rishon and said, that was the time there was a Beis HaMikdash. This time is also going to go down as, that was the time Am Yisrael was back home. The fact that there was all this pain and piguim and suffering are going to be, they'll be, I don't know if there'll be footnotes, but that's not going to be the way that this is going to be remembered when Mashiach comes. Bezrat Hashem. Bine bechol zman bayit rishon haya liklal Yisrael milchamot u'kshayim, ach kol zman she'adam natun be'admato u'benachalato, adayin ein ze nechshav bishleimot ke'et tzara. This blew me away. Rav Kluger is pointing something out here. He's saying, as long as no matter what you're going through, but you're where you're supposed to be, which means home, as long as you're home, kol zman she'adam natun be'admato u'benachalato, as long as you are where you're supposed to be, which is admat Eretz HaKodesh, Eretz Yisrael, it's not considered, doesn't fall under the category that the Ramban says would be a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of a chiyuv of davening. Adayin ein ze nechshav bishleimut ke'et tzara. You can't say it's like an et tzara, like the Ramban was speaking about. V'ikara et tzara, because what is et tzara really referring to? Hu ka'asher ha'adam goleh mimkomo ve'eneno miyushav b'da'ato. Because an et, listen to this, open your hearts, this is very important. And it stinks also, and you'll see what I mean in a second. This stinks. He says like this, the ikar, to define something as an etzara is when you don't have das. Now, when do you usually not have das? What did he basically say? When does a person have a lack of dat? when they're not home. When they're not home, and he proves it from Rabbi Nachman right now, from Likutei Maharan. But when you're not home, you don't have da'at. Golem im komo, golem da'ato. That's what he's bringing. That's what he's bringing down. So therefore, he said, he's saying the whole time of Bayit. When does the story of Purim take place? Between, right? Between Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. In fact, we know exactly what year it was too, because of the miscalculation of what happened. Nachon. So as much as we may have had difficulty during Bayit Rishon times, it didn't fall into the category of Eitzara because we were still where we were supposed to be. So you can't say it's a fully Eitzara. Here they find themselves in a place that they have nowhere to run to. It's not where they're supposed to be. It's a state of Golus, which means there's no Da'at. It fell under the category fully of Eitzara. Yeah, Zahava. This was all by
Rishon. So
this is all Bayit Rishon, what we said. Right. Well, everything we said right now, Antonia. Bayit Sheni didn't happen yet until after the story of Purim.
Right.
This does.
Eitzara is when we're all here.
He didn't. That's interesting. He doesn't say that. He just says where you're caught, where you as an. To me, it seems like the you, the individual, where you're at. It seems like it. Okay, it's a good question. It's a good deal what you're saying. Meaning.
I think their family's staying by us for 3 months now, and there really was no doubt. Like you could see that the mother cannot.
From where?
From the Golan.
Oh, from the Golan.
And you could see that she couldn't get her kids together. She could like there really was no doubt. Like as you're saying, it's like blows my mind. But yet I'm in my house, so like I was able to continue my life. I was able to. So that's why I'm wondering if it's like a an individual thing, or if it's like a problem.
I don't know. I so relate to it because we've been. Living somewhere else for a month during Shiputzim, and I'm everything's there, and I'm losing my mind. Mamash, I'm losing my mind. I'm actually not losing it because it's not there, and I don't even understand why I'm losing. Like why I feel so, but it's the same in Yan, nachon. He didn't get into that chiluk, but it's very easy to see that it can be also an individual level as well, nachon.
Also, just to say that it's not a physical thing; it's a metaphysical thing. It's more like a spiritual thing.
Well, here, that is true in its etzem, but here he's actually pointing out, well, that the Yudim found themselves in Shushan Avira, and they're like, okay, in past times when there was Eitzara, see, all these Yidden were in the Beis Hamikdash; they knew it. Mordechai was in the Beis Hamikdash, right? All these Yidden knew. Mordechai was from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. You know, Mordechai was part of establishing how we daven today with the Takanot of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. These people were in Eretz Yisrael that had Itot Tzara, but they said, but something here is different. Okay, so obviously, the obvious thing is the decree is a different decree than whatever hardship they had, but that also, Mifchinat HaDat, they knew I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So I can't even function properly.
But
what you said is true, meaning it's also true, kamuvan, spiritually as well. Now look, now he quotes from Rabbi Nachman. Ukmo shekatub b'likutei Moharan, this is Likutei Moharan, Kuf Mem Aleph, the 141st teaching. Likutei Kama Kama Samechei, that means the first part of Likutei Moharan, the 65th teaching. אך עיקר הצער שיש לאדם מהייסורים שעוברים עליו חס ושלום הוא רק מחמת שלוקחים מאדם דעת. What really lies beneath someone's painful experience in this world is not the experience, not really the experience itself, it's the da'at that you feel was taken from you while you're going through the experience. You know how deep that is? It's unbelievably deep. Why? כי כשיש לו דעת, הוא מסתכל על התכלית, אינו מרגיש כלל הצער של הייסורים. Because if a person can go through hell, but they're going through hell with da'at, which means focused on the purpose of it, you can go through anything. It's not that what you're going through becomes enjoyable. That's not what he's saying either. And I don't connect to those words, you know. It's that, I don't, זה לא כל כך מחזק אותי. those words of like, this height would be, is if you're on such a high level that you know everything's from Hashem, so you dance into the gas chamber. I don't understand, like, I can't do anything with that, even though I know it happened. I know these stories happened. But for me, what he says over here is, if a person has da'at, which means when you have da'at, you keep your eye on the prize. You keep your eye on the tachlit of this world. You keep your eye on the purpose of this world. If you're able to maintain da'at through any tsar or yisurim, the way that you experience is that you don't feel at all the tsar of the yisurim. Doesn't mean that what happens is beautiful and good. It may not be enjoyable, but you're not experiencing the painful side of the experience because you're keeping your eye on the... Listen, achaya, and we have so many examples in the last few months of people that have mamash shown us exactly what this teaching is. Where does it come from? How does a person consciously choose to walk into fire because they know that that is the tachlit of life? Is to la'agen al Am Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael. Where else have you and I experienced that in our lifetime and as a conscious decision of people? It's not to be believed. So the Rebbe says here, Rebbe Nachman says, again, כשיש לו דעת ומסתכל על התכלית, אינו מרגיש כלל הצער של היסורים. And in the beginning of this milchama, we learned the most incredible piece from Maharam Rotenberg that described, that he gave, there was an edus given by someone that heard in his name, that when a person's killed al Kiddush Hashem, remember we learned this? They don't feel any physical pain whatsoever. That void went out, I have to tell you, I got so many calls from Horim Shkunim around the country that heard about the Shir, and they trusted me, but they needed to see it inside, and I had the Makor. I was able to send it to them. And I think like, that Torah also is the same thing, even for, of course it's painful beyond words, shelo neda, but when the tachlit, when the da'at doesn't leave me, my way of going through the pain is something completely, completely different. B'makom acher, the bottom of you, b'makom acher katav, nachmu nachmu ami, Rabbi Nachman says on the words, nachmu nachmu ami, כל הצרות והיסורים והגלות אינו אלא לפי ערך חסרון הדעת. Lack of doubt determines how much the pain that you're going through is actually going to be painful. וכשנשלם הדעת, אזי נשלם כל החסרונות. And when a person's doubt is there and it's complete, so anything that's lacking stops being lacking, it's all filled. Bifchinat, like it says in the Gemara and the Nedarim, in dat kanita ma chasarta. If you've acquired that in this world, then what are you lacking? It's interesting that he's not using the word chokhmah. You realize that? Mm-hmm. He keeps on saying dat. What's the difference between dat and chokhmah?
Connection.
Huh?
Connection
to the intellect that you've acquired, to whatever level of intellect you've acquired. Dat, not chokhmah. You could be the biggest chacham in the world. And you could have zero connection to it. Da'at, milashon ve'adam yada'at chava ishto, means that I am connected to that which I know. I'm connected. I could know the purpose of life, and I could also be connected to the purpose of life. And those are two completely different worlds. And the lashon of da'at, the first time it shows up in the Torah, comes by Adam and Chava, ve'adam yada'at chava ishto. What do you think? Oh, he knew that she's his wife? No, Rashi tells us right there. Das means intimacy, connection. Chibur. We learned a beautiful Torah in the Hachana L'Shavish here. I have to say it here because it fits in so perfectly. It says, Rav Biderman brought down that the famous Medrash that says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana Tova Yeshli Bebez Genazai U'Shabbat Shema. I have the most wonderful gift for Yidden. It's in my treasure chest. It's called Shabbos. Lech vehodiem. Go and let them know about this. So it's a beautiful, just saying those words is beautiful. Doesn't need any tosafot. But Rav Biderman was saying that every single Shabbos, when it says Yismach Moshe Matnat Chelko, we say Shabbos morning. Moshe rejoices in his portion. What's his portion? Letting Yidden know every single week that Shabbos is coming. But Rav Biderman said a gevalt.
What's the lashon of the midrash? Lech vehodiem. That means go and connect them to Shabbos. Not go and let them know that it's Shabbos. Go and connect them. For Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the greatest matana he could ever have. That his thing in this world is to come to every Jew, lech vehodiem. That means any da'at that was lacking in their lives, Moshe Rabbeinu was mashlim that. He does it to us every single, the shayla, if it's right before Shabbos or Kabbalah Shabbos, whatever, doesn't matter. But that's why we keep on coming back to the word da'at kanita, da'at kanita machasarta. Uchtiv, third line on the top of the left column, in brought down in Yeshaya Navi, lachen gala ami mibli da'at. Therefore, he's coming to say over here, galut nullifies, cancels out da'at. Like the example that Zahava gave. So now we're speaking very individually. Mimeila ha'adam male tzar u'machovim. You feel all the things that could be painful in your life, when there's no da'at, they suddenly appear. You know how many things could be hurting you right now? I'm not trying to, Chalila, you understand what I'm saying? Do you know how many things could actually be hurting us right now? Why don't all the things that could be hurting us right now, how come they're not hurting us? Based on this. Because we have a certain level of da'at. That's the only thing. Because we have a certain level of da'at. Ba'azai, but when you're not like that, tefillah be'et tzara de'oraita b'shleimut. But when you're in galus, and you're davening from that place, it's basically saying, even according to the Ramban, it would be considered a moment of et tzara where you'd have a chiyuv de'oraisa from the Torah to daven. So now let's go out of the text right now. You think it really boils down to Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. Because you could be here in the place you're supposed to be and have no da'as. Have no da'at. It's possible. We see it all the time. We see it all the time.
We feel it all the time.
Was it?
We feel it all
the time. We feel the lack of da'at all the time. Right. We feel a lack of. Even though I know I'm in the right place. It's like, doesn't work. It's like, I'm in the right place. So the way he taught this whole piece is just mind-boggling, because what he's saying over here is that if you find yourself in a state of galus adas, that means you don't have da'at, and you feel the etzara, at that moment, there'd be a chiyuv d'oraisa on you to daven, b'shlemus, completely. You shouldn't understand for halachic minds, this is like a beautiful binyan of understanding chiyuv d'oraisa and chiyuv tefillah in our times. But even for non-halachic minds, if it's more esoteric minds, or even more just looking at the ruach of things, like we have to mekabel that the story that Esther Amalka, from Mordechai and Esther, that it's teaching us is that davening is the strongest da'as that a person could have in this world. Because davening takes you out of galut at that moment that you're davening. When you're really in prayer, there is no galut. When you're really, you know what's amazing about real tefillah? You could go into a tefillah session, he's pointed a session, with a lot of different things on your list of the things you're crying for that you need so badly in life. But when you set yourself free from that, and you start to get the thing rolling, and it's really a siach between you and the Ribono Shel Olam, it's not that suddenly all those things were solved. But what suddenly happens to you when you're in a world of tefillah? All those things that were hurting you and that you thought you need in order for things to be good end up not being the things that I need in order for things to be good. Because it brings me closer to the tachlit in this world, which means I have more da'at. Which means that I'm pulling myself out of a place of galut. And this is why Ikar Reb Nachman says, the world says that davening is an important thing. He says, by me, it is the most important thing in the world. Tfilah lekel chayai. I daven to Hashem so I actually know what it means to be alive. Not to have things and not have things. Ve'alken, go back inside. Ve'alken, rak bizman Mordechai ve'Esther, matzinu kazit tzura shel tfilah. Only in the time, the story of the Purim Megillah, we see this tzura of davening, this shape of davening. Ve'chaygavna shekonsin et kol klal Yisrael keechad. Everyone's gathered together as one. So here's Ahava. It has to do with the klal, right?
This is what they're doing
today. Huh?
This is what they're doing today.
Yeah, but this is what you're going to be doing in a few minutes, man. This is what, you know, I hate to say it. There have been so many of these, like, everyone's going to say the same thing at a certain, you know, time, right? It's got to be deeper than that. I don't know what deeper means like that, but it's happened so many times. It means any opportunity you have, you use to daven. וזועקים ומתפללים להשם יתברך, והיינו כנל, כיוון שכלל ישראל הלכו לגלות מארץ ישראל, אך כסדר התחזקו בכך שידעו שיחזרו לארץ ישראל בסוף 70 שנה. See, those Yidden that went down to, they were in Shushan, they, most of them, I guess the ones that were still alive, I don't know what the age, the average age was back then, but most of them were still in Eretz Yisrael, they knew that they're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's how the whole bilbul happened about eating at the Suda of HaChashverosh. What was the simcha about? That the prophecy about when we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael didn't end up happening because of a miscalculation of 70 years. Sounds familiar about miscalculations? What other time was there a miscalculation that led... Huh? Chet HaEgel, son of the golden calf. Again, a miscalculation which led to a complete chisaron adat. Same thing. אך כעת, שנראה שעבר קציר, קלה קיץ ועדיין לא נושאו. Here they found themselves like the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming down from Shamayim. Now it's happening to us again. Now I'm in Shushan, and the time that I was supposed to be over and go back hasn't happened. ועוד יותר, דווקא אז התרגשה עליהם הגזירה של המן. And not just did it not happen that they didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael, add on to the miscalculation, this Amalekite that tells us, you're all going to die. You're all going to die. ואז היה תוקף הגלות והעת צרה כפי שלא היה מאז היו ישראל לעם. The darkness, the confusion and the concealment was stronger more than it ever was to Am Yisrael as a people. ועל כן דווקא שם מצאנו כזה צורה של תפילה בהתכנסות של כל כלל ישראל כאחד. Therefore we see over there that the et sara was felt so strongly because of chisaron hadat, because of lacking dat. So now I just want to end this and tie it into where we are today, until we find ourselves today. You know, we've gotten used to living with many different illusions in our lives, many different types of illusions, on many different levels, in many different areas, different things for different people, v'chulei. And the reason that we don't speak about a lot of these things is because we want to make people feel secure and safe and good, and that things are going to be good, right? But there's still a very non-embarrassed Haman today in the world that wants to do the same exact thing that Haman did. The difference is they're living in Eretz Yisrael in our backyard. They live all around us, everywhere here, all of them. Chisron HaDat doesn't just mean that I can't find myself. Chisron HaDat, it seems to me, also mean a certain acceptance of living out of a state in Galus. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a million times worse. See, in Shushan, it's Shushan, it's Persia. I don't expect the streets there to be, you know, filled with you know, beautiful children singing good morning in all different languages to all humanity. It's Shushan, right? I don't expect that in New York, I don't expect it in Los Angeles. I don't expect it anywhere, but I do expect it here in Eretz Yisrael. And I want it here in Eretz Yisrael. And I want it so badly here in Eretz Yisrael. But we are in a much more, in the pnimius of things, not on the outside. You see, Hashem is putting nes after nes every single day, right around here in our area, just this morning in El Azhar, nonstop. But in the pnimius of things, Hashem is saying, I feel like He's screaming out to us and saying, what are you willing to mamash let go of that's been protecting you, when really it's not really protected? It really hasn't really protected you. It's just an ashlaya of protection. It's just an illusion of protection. Meaning there's this galut hadad that we have, but it's basically been a tozaah of just trying to make ourselves feel better and protected. With an achon, when the pnimius of things, it's not. The emes is, are we in an etzara right now? Yeah, what has stopped us from saying that before Simchas Torah? The illusion. Yafe. Yeah? Is everyone kind of flowing with that? Like, today I'm saying it's an etzara because the ratzon of the behema is galui. But really, but pnimiut, has anything changed? Is there any difference at all on any level? Was there suddenly like a mind shift bekerev uchlusiye Yishmael? Ma pitom?
I guess the fact that the world is holding a magnifying glass over it helps that a little bit.
But nothing, but in its makor, that's the question. In its makor, nothing's changed. That means, how long have we been in Etzara?
Since the destruction of the first place
of Mikdash. So we're trying to say. Exactly. A Yehudi without the Beit HaMikdash isn't an Etzara. That's exactly the point. A Jew without the headquarters of Da'at is in an Etzara. And over the years, we get the opportunity, every I don't know how many years, to have that atrayabi, ashlayabi menupats, you pop that bubble, and you realize, wow, with all the nice shuls and schools and community centers we've built, without the Beis HaMikdash, I'm always going to be in a state of etzara. That's exactly the point. So therefore, Tanis Esther should not be used only, that it would be so degrading, in my humble opinion, if Tanis Esther was used just so, the tefillahs of Tanis Esther are just so, Hashem, make this stop that we're in right now. You hear? It's the whole thing. And we keep on speaking about this, but based on Migdash energy, the whole thing. The whole thing. And remember that when Beis HaMikdash will come, and our children are going to ask us, tell us, how did it end up happening? Right? And you start telling a story about, basically, the sergeants of the, you know, the army, and then we had architects, and suddenly all these different pieces of wood showed up from... No. It started like Esther HaMalka's Yeshua begins, really from davening, v'chleich knos, and only then everything else happens. Zot omeret, be open to the notion that the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the story of the real Geula has not begun yet. In our own approach to davening. Because I want to say that, like you said, only after the tefillah, the real cry for being connected to our tachlit, and not just being removed from moments of pain, and I remember that is hashlama of that, and that is the p'tichat ha-shearim for a story called Binyan Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. So therefore, like, it's my no pressure, because everyone has to do whatever they have to do today. It's Erev Purim, v'chulei, and no pressure on people's feelings of davening, because we learned this week on Tuesday night from Moshe, it's about the Aleph Zeira. Every single thing you do is precious, even if it's not the deepest kavana. But Tani says there's a day that's Yotze Min HaKlal. It's different. And the tefillah should be Be'ezrat Hashem, that you should believe so much in your tefillahs, Bizchus Nashim Tzadkanias, that are coming out to learn on a fast day, that want so badly to be able to tell their children, we were willing to remove all the fake, all the facades, all the delusional masks that we thought were really protecting us for the sake of a better future or whatever, and to be able to go right into the heart of the tachlis, and that is that we've been in a state of Eitz Hara from the moment that we've been in Galut. That's exactly what he said over here. And that we really, really need to le'orer mitocha amar atzon. It's when we daven, to go way beyond just davening, to get out of the moments of horrible things that we're experiencing right now. But that should be in the schus of our holy and precious chatufim and chatufot, that they arouse within us a passion to daven like never before, a passion to have more da'at like never before, and a passion to be focused on the tachlit, on the purpose of the whole story of Am Yisrael and Hashem like never before. And this all comes in the shoresh of Esther Amalka. And only then she starts to do the tactics of inviting Haman, v'chulei. It starts from v'tzumu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshet yamim laila v'yom gam ani v'narotai atzum ken. And remember the Torah that we said 2 years ago from Reb Mordechai Eliyahu. The pasuk Batani Esther is very strange. She says, tzumu alai, and then she says, al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshet yamim laila v'yom. So the question is, she already said tzumu alai. She already said fast. Why does she then have to say, and don't eat and don't drink? Isn't that what fasting means? So Reb Mordechai Eliyahu said a gevalt. He said an amazing thing. He said, she took upon herself basically a tani's dibur. Her and the girls, the fasting that she refers to first was that she's only going to use her mouth for diburim of tefillah for those 3 days. So, you know, we just have a day that today could be kula mukdash, the level of fasting. We fast from using lashon that doesn't need to be said. Tani, on a level of tani dibur, together with the fasting, the Yeshua, Bezrat Hashem, is right there. And Bezrat Hashem, this Purim really, like everyone's been saying, this Purim is like no other. It's true, but the way that tone is, we want to say it differently. It's true, this is a Purim like we've never experienced before. And we're going to speak about that tonight. But the point is to come out of this Purim and saying, this was a Purim like never before. Not to stay in the same place of, okay, I think we did as good as we could for this Purim. That's Galus Adas. That's still a Galus Dik Purim. So Bezrat Hashem, we should see Al HaNisim, Al HaNiflot, Bezrat Hashem. Shkoyach, everyone.